I want you to try. I'm having trouble myself. Imagining if one of the people behind me had said a few weeks ago, "Oh, I probably shouldn't sing. I should be quiet. I don't want to take any attention away from anyone else. Everyone else deserves some time in the spotlight, so I just won't sing." I know, it's very hard to imagine, because when those voices sing and listen and pray together, if you're like me, you cannot help but pray with them. Marianne Williamson has a quote that says, "How dare you not take the spotlight? There is enough spotlight for all of us, and we need you to take yours." The first sentence of our scripture this morning is not, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling you may have received." Or, "a life worthy of the calling to which you could be, perhaps, if you get another degree, called to do." No. It says you are to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And yes, you are to live it, trying to balance the humility of being open to the Spirit while also stepping into the spotlight when your community calls upon you. You are to share your talents while making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the body. This means sometimes backing up so someone else can step forward. Sometimes it means stepping up when you're not quite sure you can. But each of us was given grace. It's a done deal. There is nothing you can do that can separate you from God and the gifts within you of the Spirit. But we can stymie the Spirit. We each have our own inner voices that help us to stymie ourselves. Some of those voices are just plain old human voices. They call it the reptilian part of your brain. That's the part that freezes or runs. And it was great when your ancestors were facing down a mammoth. However, usually at least, when the choir stands to sing, there is no mammoth. And the body might say, "You should just freeze." But we have other parts of our brain that say, "Well, actually, I'm not in danger. I am feeling fear, nervousness, anxious, and I can continue being." Now, some of us also have very unique voices in our heads. Many of us, no matter how our mother or father really talked to us in real life in the past, have our mother's voice on speaker dial, speed dial. And often it's not the things your mom said every day, like "I love you" or "try your hardest and that will be good." No, I have things that my mom said once on a bad day, but I recorded it. And I play it. "Oh, don't think too much of yourself. Oh, you'll never look good in that dress. Oh, I don't know if you should do that." Now again, my mother rarely said any of those things, but I recorded them. And boy, oh boy, occasionally they get rolling in my mind. I'm reading a book called The Happiness Trap. And I really recommend it. I don't usually recommend books that would find themselves on a self-help shelf. But what I love about this is it's very practical. It doesn't say, I can help you be better. It doesn't say, I can make sure you never feel sad again. Instead, it says, you're going to feel nervous, sad, fear, trembling, and happiness. Every day you'll have at least 20 emotions, and they will come and go. And you don't always have to believe what you think. So my mind this morning said, well, I don't know if that dress quite fits. And I learned from this book to turn to my mind and say, thank you so much for your input. And then I put on the dress that I wanted to wear today, and I walked out the door. And so far, the world has kept turning. One of the beautiful pieces of scripture this morning talks about we must no longer be children tossed and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, their craftiness. Well, one of the most crafty things we have in our lives is our own self-doubt. We can trick ourselves sometimes. Or we can think about not taking a role because it's never been done before. That's a great trick. The fear of change, of being the first to do something in your family or in your church, is nerve-wracking. And I will not tell you today to just not feel nervous. I will tell you, you will probably feel nervous. And I invite you to use that nervousness the way we sometimes need to use anger. Use it as the energy to do the new. Yesterday at the wedding, a groom came down the aisle with his mother. He then went back up the aisle and came down with his bride's mother. And then I asked everyone to stand, and everyone was very concerned because the father of the bride was in the front row. And if the father of the bride is in the front row, that means he's not with the bride. But that means she's going to walk alone, and that means that... And then she was halfway down the aisle, and we all realized that this woman had gotten herself through college, found a beautiful man to marry, worked very hard at pre-marriage counseling so they would be ready, and her father was beaming because it had been his idea. She was the first of the family. And it took us all that entire aisle length to process everything our minds were telling us. Oh, this shouldn't happen. Well, maybe it should happen. Well, I don't know. What do you think? Luckily, by the time she got to the front, we had all said, well, thank you so much, mind. And we're able to celebrate with her what that walk had meant for both her and for the marriage. Deciphering your gift is not always easy. Harder still is when you know you are called to do something and you haven't learned how to yet. Someone who knows every time they go to fellowship, they see the people in the kitchen handing out the coffee cups and they think, that is so what I want to do, but I know I'll spill. I know I won't come early enough. And that's why one of our jobs, all of us, no matter our talents, is to work to equip the saints. So it is our work, along with saying, I would like to volunteer for fellowship, please. Our other job is to, as the fellowship team can, say, hi, welcome. Let me walk you through what we do, and then you can choose what you'd like to try today. Like, Janet knows not to give me a cup of hot liquid, when I'm in my all. It's white. The hot liquid is black. It all goes badly. However, I might be able to cut up a cake or even just stand at the fellowship door and smile. This summer, we have not one, not two, but three people reading scripture for the first time in this space. And it is a blessing to all of us to hear their voices. It is frightening to equip the saints, because that means that we sometimes have to allow things to be imperfect because someone is trying out their gift and it's not going to work out the first few times. A new choir member may end up mouthing the words the first time the choir sings in German because they have no idea how to do that. And Tammy Jo doesn't say, well, Tammy Jo says, mouth the words. Listen to the words on iPad and come to every rehearsal. And I promise that the next time we sing German, you're going to sing at least half of it, if not more. Especially the parts. Those are the best parts of the German songs. So your role is to find that feeling you get when you're living out your dream, and find out ways to put that into everything you do. And our other calling is to help people when they find that, to say, oh, I see your gift. How can I help equip you so that you know? And you will get through the fear and through the nervousness and the knocking of the knees and bless us. And when each of us takes those little steps to equip and to share, the Holy Spirit is unleashed. I'm not sure how you see it from where you're sitting, but from the middle, our new pulpit hanging, can you see the Spirit coming out of the Word of God? Whoosh! That's what happens when we share and when we equip. Thanks be to God.